Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-13C, Larry McKinley.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in a GR, General Residential District, in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 97.14 acres into 206 lots, located west of Route 504, 215 feet south of Route 508. This application has been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a nature area report booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. And just for a brief history, there was a 42-lot subdivision application that was reviewed for this site by the commission. It was filed in 1996. Commission denied that application in 1998. In 2001, there was another application submitted for this site for 42 lots. The commission granted preliminary approval. There was also a time extension granted, and then there was a voided application. And then in 06, there was an application submitted for this site for 41 lots, which was withdrawn on September 27th of 06. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here with an interest in this application this evening? The public? Okay, being none, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, and I do represent the applicant, Larry McKinley. With me is Brian McKinley, Larry McKinley's son, and Andrew Hayes from Foresight Associates, who are the site designers and engineers of the development. I did submit, and I assume you have a copy of an exhibit book, which is a development report. And I also submitted a separate document, which was titled Nature of Area Report, which contains some things that I'll be referring to in a moment. This is a subdivision application for a standard non-cluster subdivision containing 206 single-family lots to be known as Susan Beach Estates. The site is located just north of Route 54 on the west side of Providence Church Road and south of White Deer Road, and that is just northeast of Susan Beach Corner, which is approximately 2.5 miles west of Del Mar. The site itself contains 97 acres. The majority of the site was tilled. There is a wooded area of about 8 acres located on the site, and there is an area of approximately 1.18 acres of federal non-title wetlands based on an older wetlands report that was done. But as Mr. Hayes will explain, some of that area is no longer designated as wetlands. The land is currently zoned GR, General Residential. As stated in the zoning ordinance, the purpose of the GR district is to provide for medium density residential use. GR zoning does permit a density of approximately 4 lots per acre. The proposed Susan Beach Estate subdivision would contain 206 single-family lots on 97 acres, which would be a density of 2.12 lots per acre, which is approximately half what the permitted density is in a GR district. There were several studies undertaken in the planning of the subdivision. As I mentioned, there was a wetland delineation done and supplemental work done to that. The wetland areas, as originally designated, do not encroach into any lot lines. There was a rare threatened and endangered species inquiry that was done by Charles Miller of Environmental Consultants. No species under that designation were observed. An archaeological study was done to determine the boundaries of an old cemetery, which is referred to as the Ellis Family Cemetery. That cemetery is actually not part of this property, but is located in the middle of a property. There's no tombstones or other markers on those graves. What Dr. Otter did was located the boundaries of the cemetery through field work, and that area has been designated. That area will be marked, it'll be landscaped, and it'll be maintained by the developer and subsequently by the Homeowners Association as a cemetery. There's a parking area located near that site at the recreational facilities, and that will be accessible to family members or anyone who chooses to visit that burial area. The development will be served by public water and wastewater systems operated by Tidewater Utilities. An ability to serve letter is in the exhibit book. The letter from Tidewater does indicate that Tidewater Utilities and Tidewater Environmental Services currently hold certificates of public convenience and necessity to serve this area. There will be no on-site wastewater treatment or disposal. Wastewater will be transported to the Tidewater wastewater plant, which is located near this site. Other utilities providing service to the proposed development: electric would be by Delaware Electric Co-op. Verizon would provide telephone, cable, TV by Comcast, and propane by Sharp Energy. And again, there are ability to serve letters in the exhibit book. LDOT did not require a traffic impact study since the proposed development falls below the LDOT criteria for the study. The entrance obviously will be complied with all LDOT requirements. The development is located in the Del Mar School District and also in the fire service area of the Del Mar Volunteer Fire Department. As you know, a standard subdivision is required to have 10% open space. Susan Beach Estates will have approximately 31 acres of open space of the 97-acre parcel, which is approximately 31.9% of the entire site. The open space will contain and include recreational facilities comprised of two tennis courts, a basketball court, two playgrounds or tot lot areas, walking trails. Also, there will be sidewalks located on both sides of all the subdivision streets. The development will have a homeowners association made up of all lot owners that will be responsible for the enforcement of the restrictions and the operation and maintenance of all the common areas and open space. Susan Beach Estates is located in an area that is undergoing significant change. Mr. Abbott mentioned, there is some history of this site. Back in 2001, Mr. McKinley did file a subdivision application for the same parcel, proposing 42 large lots with on-site septic systems. The challenge of this property had always been the ability to put septic systems on the property. That was allowed to expire. And basically what happened was a significant change in this area as a result of in this immediate area back in 2005, there were four separate applications filed by Blackwater Creek, Inc., which I think you gentlemen are all familiar with. One was a B1 zoning application, one was an AR RPC, a GR RPC, and an AR cluster subdivision. Those combined applications were located on both sides of Route 54 and County Road 504. They had a total density of 1,179 residential units, comprised of 571 single-family lots and 608 multifamily units. In the document I submitted, the document regarding the nature of the area, what I did for your review, I submitted the minutes of the Planning Commission and the County Council hearings and the decisions approving those applications. Those applications do contain a site map, which is from the PLUS process, and basically, if you look at that, the Susan Beach property is the one I have outlined in blue, and you'll see that the three Blackwater sites are basically the other four corners almost of this area right here. So this site is basically located right adjacent to that area of development. In reviewing the Blackwater decisions, I believe that a lot of the factors supporting that approval are equally applicable to this application, and again, that's, I just would ask you to consider that in your review. And what I'd like to do right now is turn this over to Drew Hayes of Foresight Associates, and he'll basically present the site plan to you. Drew.
Good evening. I'm Andrew Hayes, a professional engineer with Foresight Associates. As Jim stated, the site proposed for Susan Beach Estates is Zone GR. It's approximately just over 97 acres. 206 single-family lots are proposed for it. Minimum lot size is 10,000 square feet. Maximum lot size is just over 17,000 square feet. Most of the lots are just over 10,000 square feet and are about 75 feet wide and 135 feet deep. The layout of the site provides open space corridors behind most of the lots. It provides buffering to agricultural properties to the west. That's back on this side, agricultural property, also to the south, and to the south in the center is timberland. The buffers on the south side, and I'll call it the southwest, are 50 feet wide, and it's 30 feet across the bottom of the site. Additionally, there is an open space proposed in the center of the western portion that's a pond that will serve as stormwater function and aesthetics. In the southwest corner, there's some open space. This area is bisected by a road that's existing forest area. And you'll notice that the lots have fingers of trees on them. We anticipate those lots having limited clearing and being marketed as wooded lots. To the front center of the site, this is where the cemetery is, and the open space amenities are also clustered there. There's no visible evidence of a cemetery being there. There are no gravestones. The archaeological study did not turn up any artifacts other than, I think, a horse femur was all they found. The subdivision proposes to have a perpetual maintenance for any family members to access the cemetery. Two tennis courts, a small parking area, and a multi-purpose court, could be a basketball court or something else, are proposed. There is a tot lot near the cemetery. There's a second tot lot that is in the center north of the site. You see that right, right there. Directly across the street from a wide open space corridor. Along the front of the site, there are two large ponds proposed. They are intended to serve a stormwater function and as an aesthetic feature for the entrance of the site. The site's drainage is characterized by falling towards the front of the site along Providence Church Road, and with a heavy rainstorm, it water ponds there for a couple days on that part of the site as it is. The groundwater elevation is very, very high in that area. It lends itself very well to a wet pond. The entrance feature, we propose having a culverts that look like a bridge so that it looks like a bridge over top of two connected ponds there. In the extreme northwest corner, there's a little patch of woods that is a wetland area. As Mr. Fuquay stated, the preliminary plan that was submitted is based on a 1996 wetland delineation. We have since had a wetland scientist go out and revisit the site under more current regulations and more current conditions. He has indicated that while the preliminary plan shows a corridor of wetlands coming up through this area and extending east-west towards that pond, that those areas are no longer classified as wetland areas. So it's that we believe the only wetlands on the site are the extreme northwestern corner, and then there is a tax ditch that runs along this northern property line. And he is inquiring with DENREC as to whether they want to consider that to be wetlands. He doesn't believe it is characterized as wetlands. It's very, very dry. There's no evidence of water standing there. As a result of the more recent wetlands delineation, a jurisdictional determination will be pursued for those wetlands. No change to the site plan is proposed, however. As submitted, there were no wetlands proposed on any lots. We intend to maintain those boundaries for the lots themselves. Public sewer and water provided by Tidewater Utility. We also understand that by projected date of 2014, there will be public gas service in the area through Chesapeake. A recent rare and threatened species study was done on the property, and through multiple site visits over several months, no rare or threatened species were observed. And the site has just over 31 acres of open space. It's just about 32% open space. That open space does include the stormwater management. I believe that completes it.
Gentlemen, I do have some proposed conditions and findings of facts that I would submit to Mr. Lank and ask that he hand those out to you to consider.
Thank you, sir.
In conclusion, the proposed application is designed in accordance with the zoning and subdivision ordinance. The items listed in section 99.9C of the subdivision ordinance are addressed on pages 2 to 7 of the development report that was submitted. We believe that the Susan Beach subdivision is consistent with the trend of development that has been recognized as appropriate for this area. I did want to mention that, as I said in the beginning, this land is zoned GR. It is the intent at this time that the homes in the development would be either stick-built or modular homes, although the owner is not totally ruling out manufactured homes at this point, and again, the property is zoned for that use. So with that, that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
What's the distance from Providence Church Road to the first lot? Looks like you got a buffer between the road there.
It is approximately 165 feet.
From the edge of the roadway or middle of the road? Or
from the right-of-way.
Right-of-way, okay.
To the rear, to the eastern lot line.
Okay, and that'll be landscaped and?
Yes, the intention is the landscape. I should mention that on previous projects I've worked on with the developer, they have done a very good job of berming the area between the rear of lots and the roads, and we understand that the intention is to berm the area between the ponds and the rear lot line, so that it'll be bermed and landscaped.
Okay, all right. And I'll let Mr. Johnson address the stormwater ponds along the road. I'm sure there's sufficient area along that to have a bus stop.
There is, yeah. Certainly.
And you'll be willing to work with the?
You would coordinate that with the school district.
Sure. Okay. Direct your attention to PLUS reports on, I think it's page 9 of the PLUS reports, if I can find them. Yeah. As far as preservation, they make some recommendations there, and I noticed on your response to PLUS, you didn't address those. Tell me why.
We thought that the way the site is configured, that we were pushing the largest pieces of open space in the wooded areas. We recognized the value of those wooded areas, and that these lots we proposed for those to be wooded lots to have limited clearing, and felt that our plan represented a balance between development and preservation of the woods.
So how will you address the limited clearing? I mean,
the limited clearing would mean that the lots would have the grade would be the same as the existing grade on the site, so that we wouldn't be filling, that the clearing would be limited to the area within the setbacks.
The driveway, the house site. Mm-hmm. And basically that would be that would be done through restrictions on those lots and limited tree cutting in terms of some type of diameter of the tree.
But you will have restrictions on those?
Yes.
Okay. And can you show me where the walking trails are?
Sure. There are There is a perimeter trail, runs along the south side, cuts up here. There is a loop that comes around this pond, connects up to this open space, connects to the tot lot. There's a trail that runs around the front of the site that would wind along the landscape berm between the ponds and the rear of these lots. And then this trail also winds and connects up into the recreation area. The idea is to provide a loop system within the development that connects to the recreation areas.
And the areas between, I don't have the lot numbers, but your open space area along the houses, how wide is that?
It varies in width. This area down here is maybe about 55 feet, and then it's 75, 80, widens up to 100 in here. The narrower areas are about 40 feet. They may get as skinny as 30, 35.
So what's the reason for the wider open space? Is it any reason?
The reason was just to create irregular shapes to the open space. As far as having this one wider and that one a little narrower, it was just simply to create something that's a little different between the blocks.
All the questions I had right now, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there a consideration given to perhaps look at this as a cluster at any time in the design? I believe in your opening remarks you said that
it's actually zone GR, so the AR wouldn't be permitted.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up. Thank you. And I understand you were willing to work with the school district insofar as establishing the school bus stops. Has there been any other comments or correspondence or feedback from the school district? I understand they're building a new middle school over in that area.
We understand they're building a new middle school. Outside of the plus comments, there has not.
Then your representation that the taxes generated by the development and sale of this will be helpful to pay for the improvements of the...
Yeah, again, in the big picture, you know, based on the Blackwater applications and what's happening there and some of the comments that were made in that decision, this seems to be actually growing as a kind of a northern suburb of Salisbury, with a lot of people that work in the Salisbury area living up in Delaware in this area. And I think a lot of those factors for services are going to just be generated by the fact that people are creating this community in this area.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Gordy, for deferring about the stormwater management ponds to me. Gentlemen, I saw in your response the plus comments, because that was raised by Mr. Couts during the plus comments about relocating the stormwater management ponds from the front of the property, and that's due to the layout of the land. Is that?
Yeah. There's I'll call it a ridge, but there's a high point at this part of the site, and then the site from about here forward drains straight down pretty much towards Providence Church Road. And right now, where these ponds are located, probably mostly in this area and a little bit along here, when it rains, there's water laying there for several days. So there's poor drains there right now, and the ground water table is very, very high. The actual outfall for the tax ditch is kind of up in this corner here.
Well, and gentlemen, as you may know, it's been the concern of the commission and myself in particular about having the stormwater management ponds located, you know, by the roadsides, because they're convenient for collection of trash and garbage. So what kind of landscaping or setback are you proposing with those ponds to prevent that from happening?
These ponds are, this is largely conceptual in nature. The ponds, edge of the ponds, would be no closer than 20 feet to the additionally dedicated right-of-way, and there would be a landscaping program around the ponds. It's community open space. They're meant to be an aesthetic feature for the development and the other association with taking care of the grounds around the ponds.
So am I hearing you say that you would be providing a landscaping buffer between the road and the stormwater management ponds?
There will be landscaping. I'm not sure. It will not be screening. We're not planning on hiding the ponds from the roads, but there would be a planting program.
And if you pull out, approximately what's the total acreage of your stormwater management ponds as you're currently illustrating them? And if you pull that out of your calculation for open space, approximately how much open space would remain?
I'll say probably 27%, over 25%.
So you're saying out of the 31% of open space, the stormwater management ponds consists of only 4%?
If it's 3 acres, it'd be
10%.
10%.
So it'd be about 22%.
Okay.
As an engineer, I'm crippled without my calculator. So.
Okay. Because I know that's been part of our discussion as a commission, and obviously it's not relevant because it's not an ordinance yet, but that certainly is an issue that we're addressing in terms of definition of open space and not including that of stormwater management ponds in those calculations.
So, Johnson, I do remind you that this is not a cluster ordinance, and actually only 10% is required, so it far exceeds that.
Yes, you do, and I certainly appreciate all open space that you do have provided between the lots, and instead of having a box, say, having your wavy streets, that certainly lends to the appeal of the design, and I appreciate that design. And as I understand, in terms of wetlands, the burrow pit is not considered wetlands. Is that...
That's correct. And the word borrow pit makes it sound a little more extravagant. It's a poor excuse for a borrow pit. It looks like a very small farm pond. It was obviously excavated out of uplands. It's not classified as jurisdictional wetlands.
So it's not actively being dredged at this point?
No. Okay. It's about maybe that deep on most of it, just a foot or so.
And could you point out for me where the location of the wetlands that you're saying are still wetlands?
This corner.
Okay.
Up here. And then we're discussing with Denrec as to whether portions of this tax ditch that run along this edge of the property are wetlands or not. The consultant does not believe that they will be classified as wetlands, but wants Denrec's input on that.
But that is a tax ditch.
It is a tax ditch.
And is it on your property?
The tax ditch is roughly centered on the property line. We have met with the with Brooks Cahill about it. There's an existing 80-foot easement on it. We have shown him our 50-foot buffer, and he believes that we'll be able to accommodate the easement and the right-of-way within that buffer.
And what's to the north of your property?
There are
That's on the other side
lots.
Of the ditch.
These are all residential lots from the corner, well, really all the way back across the whole northern portion of the property. These are, I'll say, semi-wooded along the back. These lots here are, it's grass that's cut straight to the property line, and then there's a little wooded area over in this corner.
Okay. I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
I have one. Was there any thought given to any interconnectivity between the next farm over as far as roadways go? I mean,
we do not believe that there was any applications filed for those properties, and we did not provide any substreets or connectivity to those. I don't believe we were asked by DelDOT to do so. We often do it when there's adjacent applications. For this one, we did not.
Yeah. Thank you. No further questions. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Counts? Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-13, C. Larry McKinley? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-13? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There'll be Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.